listener-supported KTO. Welcome to a Juno Afternoon. It's Wednesday, May 17th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gunathjeej Hawa, for joining the conversation. On today's show, for the past 3 weeks, Stephanie Goulon from Kanaki, New Caledonia, has been on exchange here at KTOO. We'll chat about her experience here in Juno. Defenders of Wildlife will share details on the electric fence incentive program that could get you a reimbursement to help protect the wildlife. And this Saturday is the Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics. We'll get a preview with Detective Kurt Stage Harvey and athlete Fu Bao Hartle. Those conversations, sounds wild, music, and more coming up right here on a Juno Afternoon.
Hands and grass. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikach. Gunathjeej.
Listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ock Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher, your host. And Stephanie, we could just listen to that music all day, huh?
I know, right? Thank you for putting the song. It's the band's name is Gurejele, and the title is Watsotso.
Oh, it's so good. It's just so good. I just want to listen to the whole thing. It's so good. Last week, we chatted with Stephanie Goulon, who is here wrapping up her three-week residency as part of a program of the U.S. Department of State with funding provided by the U.S. government, administered by the East-West Center. Stephanie, welcome back to the studio.
Hi. Thank you for having me
it's part two. Part two, yes. We didn't have nearly enough time last week, so we had to have you back. And will you tell us about you a little bit and how you got here and just sort of catch us up?
All right. So, yes, as you said, it's a professional fellowship program. So it's a work exchange, really. I'm part of a cohort composed by 10 people from all over the Pacific Islands. I'm the lucky one because I'm here in Alaska.
Because you got to come to Alaska.
Exactly.
Yes, we're the lucky ones too.
Oh, and I'm here to learn as much as possible about radio, the management, the music programming, the imaging of a radio. And because so I can improve things back home when I go back. Basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And remind us where that is and the radio station you work for and all that good stuff.
So I'm from Kanaki, New Caledonia. It's a country between Australia and New Zealand. If you can picture where is Australia and New Zealand, we're kind of in the middle of these two islands. It's a small island, archipelago, really. Five main islands. So the indigenous people are the Kanak people. The country is Kanaki, but it's known as New Caledonia mostly because we're still French. We are in the process of independence. And I was about to say decolonization because it's also a big
that's part
theme.
Of it too,
yes.
Right, but yeah
exactly,
yeah.
And so I work for Radio Jido, which is the only indigenous radio and I would say media back home, the only indigenous media really. So
wow.
It has its challenge. And I'm here to learn as much as I can too.
Nice. And tell us a little bit more about the radio station. What kind of music? Do you do news? Is it, what's the history of the station?
So about the music, well, you heard a little bit of it.
Yeah.
So the music is called Kanika. Radio Dido has played a very big role in the promotion and the broadcasting of this music. So the history of the radio is the radio was born late 1980s. So it's very new. We're going to be like 40 years in 2 years, really. The radio will be 40. It was created during what we call the events. History will call it the Civil War, but because it was very traumatic for the whole country. And so it started as a militant radio to balance the French propaganda in the country and to inform Kanak people about what was happening, to be able to reach people in remote area as well. Mm-hmm. The beginning of the radio are really, really tough. Like very tough. The radio was broadcast from a house. This house has been attacked several times.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's a kind of a huge history for this. This radio has a very heavy history. Let's say that.
Yeah.
And now we are trying to evolve. Simply, like to go from a militant radio to a commercial radio, to creating the program to center indigenous Kanak indigenous culture, to promote as much as we can the languages. We have 28 different indigenous languages. So we're trying to center the indigenous people in terms of how we do the news, for example,
right?
The way we the narrative of we try to have a different point of view as the mainstream medias.
But the
aim and the goal is really to center Kanak indigenous culture.
Nice. Yeah, I found it on TuneIn and I was listening earlier and it's interesting. There was a program. I don't know. What is the time difference?
So we have a time difference and a date difference.
Oh, right.
So for example, right now in Kanak, New Caledonia, it's 10 a.m., almost 10 a.m. But we are Thursday.
What I was listening to was a show, probably the morning person then, a gentleman, and I think he was speaking French.
We do speak French.
And he was playing music, but then he would have people. It was people calling in. So it was like a call-in show, and so he would play a little bit of, it would be a little bit of music, and then someone would come on and talk about something which I didn't understand because I don't know French, but I was just listening to the language, and then that person would go away, and then there'd be he had like an undercurrent of the same song basically, and then he would have people come on and talk about whatever is probably going on that morning. So I thought that was really fun, like a little morning call-in show.
Yeah, exactly. We call it, so the music behind where we're talking, we call it a tapi, or it would be a bed in English.
Yeah.
Call it a bed,
yeah.
Like it's the sound. And yes, it's a program for that ask the listeners to call the radio and give any messages they want to the families, friends.
Yeah.
So basically now with internet, if you are internet or text, etc., you kind of connect very easily and very quickly to your own people, let's say that, to your family, your friends. But back in the day, actually, it was really useful for people to say that, to give some message. Like if there is a meeting somewhere. So you would call the radio and say, hey, there's a meeting here this day, this time, and this place.
Yeah.
It still happens sometimes, But of course,
maybe. Yeah, there's a couple of shows like that here in Alaska, actually, mm-hmm. that still happen once in a while. I know there's Steve Heimel does a show every year, and it's that people call in and give messages to people far away because Alaska's so big, right? So it's very, mm-hmm. it was very interesting. I did understand some of the things they were talking about was the weekend. I knew that something was coming up this weekend. I couldn't figure out exactly what it was, but it was really fun to listen to. Okay, so let's get to this exchange/residency. What is it? And how, I know it came about through this program that you applied for, but how did you decide to do that? How did you decide to do the residency?
Yeah.
And what is it supposed to cover, basically?
Great question. Thank you. So the whole title of this program is Professional Fellows Program for Pacific Islands Young Economic Empowerment Leaders. Okay. So it's for like economic actor in your own country to be able to come to the US and learn as much as possible in your area, in your specialization
okay.
somehow.
Yeah.
So for me, it's radio and media production, audio production. For others, it would be business incubators mm. or social entrepreneurship. Wellness retreats, how you manage, etc. So it's very diverse yeah. For the project that we each of us is holding or yeah. working on.
Yeah.
And so I applied last year and I completely forgot about it because this kind of program, it takes time for the institution to get back to you really to be shortlisted, etc. It takes time. So I forgot about it. And then Scott Craker, who is the program officer of this program, get back to me. And yeah, and I just been shortlisted and then been chosen for coming.
And how did it get, how did KTOO and this little tiny town of Juneau, Alaska get chosen?
So I didn't choose Juneau, although I'm very grateful now. I'm the luckiest right now, really.
We're the luckiest.
And I think it's because KTO is a state radio and it's also a community-based radio.
Okay.
Which Radio Jido, the radio I work for, is also a community-based radio.
I see.
Very, very, sorry, I'm forgetting the word right now in English, but let's say that community is very important for
right.
Radio
okay.
Jido.
Right, right. Yeah. So there was like a synergy between the two stations in a sense that you could learn from what's happening here and maybe apply that. Were there specific things that you were looking to do on this exchange?
I was very looking for the funding. Where you find your fundings, really the funding,
oh, okay.
financial side of things, the music programming as well, the storytelling, how you tell the news, basically. I was very interested in everything, like from everything. And the more I learned and the more I realized that KTO is definitely the next step for Radio Jido, like ideally, this is what I want to be able to have back home. Yeah, definitely.
Well, we'll definitely have to be, hopefully we keep in touch with you and all those kinds of things. Yeah, absolutely. Because you've been amazing. And it's going to be sad to see you go. I know we're coming to the end of 3 weeks, which just goes by so fast.
Yeah.
What kind of discoveries have you made since you've been here?
In terms of radio or general?
Just, I think overall, like radio maybe, but also just, I mean, about Juneau and the community and...
Okay, the first thing would be the community mm-hmm. and the history of this place, because if I wasn't coming here, I would have never known about the Tlingit, the Aidas, and the land also. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is what struck me the most, and also how actually the different, I'm sorry, I'm losing my word, but it's okay. the way like the indigenous culture is promoted,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and how it's very, it's like visually you see where you are.
Oh yeah, okay.
And you can like when you arrive in Juneau, you know where you are.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So yeah, this is really interesting for me.
I think Juneau does a pretty good job. I mean, it can always do better, mm-hmm. but I think of sort of celebrating and yeah. is getting better at figuring out how to celebrate. Yeah. The indigenous culture here, and I think that's it's one of the things I love about being here. So, did you see like similarities between sort of where you are and where you're at here in terms of the indigenous cultures?
So, okay, I can't tell for sure. The similarity I've read about is also about. How it's community, like mm-hmm. like the community is everything. I mean, it's important. Kanak society is a clan society, clanhood, clanic society. Mm-hmm. Like one person, a person is never alone. Like he belongs to a clan, and
that's similar.
So this clan belongs to a tribe, and the tribe belongs to a. I forgot the word, but. It's like a house. And then you have a country. We call it a country. It's not, it's like a delimitation between different area of Kanaki.
Yeah.
So it's all different. I would say that the love for the land and the respect for the land, the respect for the ancestor is common, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's really great. That's amazing. I love that. Now, I know that this is listed as an exchange, and so you've been offering things too to us. I mean, in the chats we've had, I have learned so much. The amazing amount of languages you mentioned, 28, which I think for a community of 300,000 people is pretty remarkable. And also the history of your station as it looks to move forward into more of a commercial station, just the area where you're from, the music that you've exposed us to. And I know I'm going to plug this at the end, but I want to plug it now that you're going to be on KRNN tomorrow from noon to one.
Yes.
And you're going to be playing more of the music that you love and that is from your country and all that kind of good stuff. So tune in tomorrow on our sister station, KRNN 102.1 or 102.7 or 103.1. I got those confused. Or just go to KRNN.org from noon to one tomorrow, and you'll hear Stephanie with the hot jams for sure.
music, yeah.
And so it's just been really great to get to know you a little bit and sort of, you know, share with you our way of doing things and learn about your way of doing things. And hopefully that becomes, you know, something that we can continue on. So I want to talk a little bit more about your time here. What kind of things besides coming to the station every day and learning all these different things, what have you been doing out here in Juneau?
The only thing I wanted, it's going to sound so silly and vain, but the thing I wanted most was trying the king crab. So I did, and I really enjoyed it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
Yeah.
All the smoked salmon. I mean, okay, food is kind of a big staple on my to-do list. So the smoked salmon, smoked fish, amazing here. I'm just very disappointed that I will not be able to bring back some back to my country. So, but also,
so you're eating as much as you can while you're here.
Yeah, you can see already.
No, I'm just saying, like,
that's why I'm doing radio.
If you can't take it home, you might as well. I mean, it's just so great to be able to enjoy it while it's here.
Yeah, I've been to the Mendenhall Glacier, I had a tour with the float plane by the glaciers, like the Taku Glacier. Yeah. Amazing. Yesterday I was kayaking, whale watching with, so I was kayaking for whale watching basically.
Oh, wow. Out in Ok Bay, you went out to Ok Bay and like did. Okay,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just cannot put into words how magical it is.
Yeah.
It's, The first time I saw a bald eagle, I cried. I literally cried. I get really emotional. So.
Wow. And so what are your plans for the last couple of days here? I know we have plans for you, but I want to know what your plans are.
So, for tomorrow, I have this show on KRNN,
yeah.
1 hour of Kanika music. I will be hosting this, and I'm super, super happy.
That's
and excited.
That's going to be so fun.
Excited. And also tomorrow, you gave me the biggest chance I have to host a section of Juno Afternoon.
Yes.
I will be interviewing Mark Wheeler of Spruce Root and Monica Sharp from the Rescue Business Small Business Plan.
Clinket and Ida. You're taking over KTOO tomorrow, basically.
Just for a little bit.
No, it's great. It's so good.
So I'm very, very, very excited for this. And Friday I have an event I'm attending about decolonization, anti-racism.
Oh, nice.
So that's going to be awesome.
Are you going to the Hatush Lachish on Friday?
Yes.
Ah, yes. Well, I'll see you there because I will be going to that as well. That is so good. Tomorrow... Stephanie will be interviewing Spruce Root and Klinket and Haida business programs here on Juno Afternoon. So make sure you tune into that, and also on KRNN on 102.7 or 103.1, playing some awesome music tomorrow. And before we go, Stephanie, I know that you have some thank yous that you want to do. Because this is a really big residency. This is a really big exchange. This is a wonderful program. It has been such an honor and a pleasure to have you in our space and for you to be sharing with us. So, take it away.
Thank you very, very much. So, I'm here thanks to, and I'm going to repeat myself here, but I think it's important, is the Professional Fellows Program for Pacific Islands Young Economic Empowerment Leaders. And it's a program, you said at the beginning, from the U.S. Department of State, founding by the U.S. government and administered by the East-West Center. Before we finish, I wanted to thank Scott Creeker, the program officer, and Sophie for their energy and their effort, their patience, really, really thank you. I cannot finish here before thanking all KTO station for having me, for welcoming me and making me feel like I belong in this space. Thank you to the girls in the newsroom, Tasha, Anna, Katie, Yvonne, Adeline also. Thank you, Andres, for allowing me to go with him on the TV shooting. Thank you, Erin and Lisa, for the warmth. And thank you, Boston, for being such a great host. My family and friend back at home, they love you.
Oh, that's so nice.
They say you're so nice and they love your voice. And
that's nice.
Also, thank you, KTO TV team. I was more focused on radio, but we're a team, right? Thank you to Jennifer Pemberton. She was my first contact when I was still back home, and she managed to give me already like a sense of what it would be to be here. And it's awesome. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank Cheryl Snyder for being such a great support. She welcomed me, listened to me, understood my needs. She helped me in every way she could with the limited time she had left. So thank you very much, Cheryl, for being such a great person. Thank you for being you. Thank you. Thank you, Juno. Thank you. Thank you, Delaine. Thank you, everybody, the Aqua and the, so I'm going to try this, to say thank you, but it's
gnach. There you go. You got it.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Wow. Stephanie Kulan from Kanaki, New Caledonia. What a pleasure to have you share with us here in Juneau. I hope your final days here are filled with this amazing weather. And of course, you can come back and be here anytime.
I will. Thank you very much. Thank you, Boston. Thank you.
Thank you. Gnath Chish.
Gnath Chish.
K KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwam. The Glenadie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Defenders of Wildlife is a national nonprofit dedicated to the protection of all native plants and animals in their natural communities. And the Electric Fence Incentive Program is part of Defenders' bear coexistence work here in Alaska. The program is now available in Southeast Alaska, and it looks to diffuse conflict and protect people, property, and bears. And there will be an event tomorrow, Thursday, May 18th at 5 p.m. Here to tell us all about it via Zoom is Isabel Grant from Defenders of Wildlife. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having us on the show.
Of course. Thanks for coming on the show. It's a wonderful thing. So first off, will you share about Defenders of Wildlife and its mission?
Yeah, so like you said, the mission is to protect all native plants and animals in their national communities, utilize scientists, policy experts, and experienced wildlife managers to advocate for the conservation of species. And so part of Defender's work is in coexistence and facilitating and reducing conflict between people and wildlife. And so Defender's bear coexistence efforts take place both in the lower 48 and also in Alaska. So I work on Defender's Electric Fence Incentive Program, and that is designed to facilitate electric fence installations on the Kenai Peninsula and in Southeast Alaska to protect people and bears.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so this electric fence initiative has some years behind it in other locations all around Alaska, of course, plus Montana, Idaho, Washington, other places. What is the aim of this particular program?
To reduce conflict between people and bears in Alaska. So when you apply, Defenders will reimburse you for 50% of the total cost of your fence installation up to $500. And so the goal is to kind of help remove that financial barrier that may prevent people from using tools like this that reduce conflict.
I see. Now, some people might think that an electric fence is a bad thing for a bear. Why isn't it a bad thing for the bear?
So the way that electric fencing works, it's not considered dangerous to people or to wildlife, though. It's not considered to have long-term effects or be capable of doing long-term harm. What it is it provides a painful shock, and that acts as both a physical and a psychological barrier. So while it doesn't necessarily harm the animal, it is a strong incentive to not cross that barrier.
To not go in that area again. It's kind of like, I guess, those folks who have open yards and they put up a fence for their animals, maybe their dog or whatnot, to sort of keep them. That's the barrier. Because I guess, mm-hmm. I mean, I imagine if I was running up against something that was shocking me once or twice, I'd probably go, okay, maybe I don't go that way anymore.
Yes, exactly.
So now I know there are some qualifying bear attractants to become an eligible participant. Can you go over what some of those might be?
Yes. And so there are a lot of things that can attract bears. So if I say something that you don't have, or you have something that isn't listed maybe on our website or on our brochure, don't hesitate to reach out. You know, if you have something that's attracting bears, that qualifies. But some great examples are gardens, fruit trees, if you keep bees, if you keep chickens, grills, any kind of food storage that you have, outdoor fridges, sheds, any type of livestock, there's a lot of things that can attract bears, but those are just a few examples.
I know for me, where I live, it's my trash cans. Mm-hmm. But luckily,
yes,
we do
garbage
have
is another big one.
Those new ones that, you know, locked down and came out one morning and that you could see they were all turned over sideways, but they weren't open, right? Because I think it was a young cub or something was trying mm-hmm. to get in there, but could not, which was a nice sort of barrier. But it's interesting when you live sort of in a rural area and you live outside and maybe you don't want to, is it a fence that is like, is it like a fence I would see at a yard, or is it something that's like in the ground, or are they specific poles, or are there different kinds of electric fences, I guess is the question.
That's a great question. So the electric fence is going to look kind of similar to a standard fence in the sense of you have, you know, above ground poles, and then you have at least 5 strands of wire running between each of those poles. And so you build that kind of barrier around. Recommended that you're building something that's at least 4 to 5 feet tall at minimum, although something more along the lines of like maybe 6 to 8 feet would probably be a little bit better.
I see. Okay. And is this just for individuals, or can businesses participate in this?
Businesses can participate as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you have a business that's downtown or maybe in a location where you've got a lot of different things going on, that's an interesting qualifier. So this event tomorrow, what is this event?
It is a bear awareness, bear safety, and electric fencing workshop. So Defenders is partnering with Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And Fish and Game is actually hosting the workshop. It's going to be at JDHS Commons in downtown Juneau. From 5 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, May 18th. We'll have presentations from Fish and Game about bear safety and awareness in the outdoors, managing bear attractants, electric fencing, how it works, and the Defenders Electric Fence Incentive Program, so how to apply and all of that.
I see. And does this application period only happen a certain time of year? Is it this the time, or is it any time I want to put up a fence?
It's any time. You can reach out in the winter, in the spring, in the fall. Summer's probably the best time to build a fence, but you can absolutely reach out to us in the fall and then build in the following spring.
Right. Preparation. If you move to a place, you're thinking that this might be an area that you need to protect. So what are the kinds of things that that bears get into or harm that I would want to, I know they can get into trash and things like that. I was also reading that it was protecting other animals as well. Is that because the bears are attacking those other animals, or are they just in danger because they're around the bears?
Bears will often, you know, attack things like chickens. If you have small livestock, it's a good food source for them. And so if you want to kind of protect any small livestock you have, or you want to protect your chickens, building a fence around those animals is a really good choice.
Yeah, I think that's good. This is a great program. I hadn't heard of it before, but I mean, you talk about beehives, fruit trees, other enticing odors.
Yes. That's kind of a catch-all for anything that might smell good to a bear.
Any enticing odor. And the program is now coming into Southeast Alaska, and that's one reason that you're partnering with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to put this event on tomorrow. And I also, I love your slogan, Got Bears, of course, because that's you got stickers for that at Defenders of Wildlife?
Not yet, but that is a fantastic idea.
I had a buddy who made a sticker once called Got Kilt, and that was a little Scottish thing on there. It was kind of fun. So good playoff of whoever originally created that. I know who it is, but I mean, it's an interesting timeline. So where do we follow Defenders of Wildlife? How can we get more information about Defenders of Wildlife, the other programs that you might have that don't have to do with bears, where we might want to support those programs? Where do we find you at?
Defenders.org. So if you go to www.defenders.org, you can find all the information about the work that Defenders does across the country, as well as anything specific to their coexistence projects. And so that includes bears and a lot of other different species.
Oh, that's awesome.
And if you're interested specifically in the Electric Fence Incentive Program, We have a webpage dedicated to that. It is www.defenders.org/got-bears. And on that, you can find our online brochure and information about the program.
That's
you
awesome.
Can also, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
You can also contact us at AlaskaDefenders@defenders.org. That's our email address. And to apply for the program as well.
Because Defenders of Wildlife is a national organization, right? So it's doing this work all around the country. But Isabel is specifically working here to help the Electric Fence Incentive Program. There's an event tomorrow, Thursday, May 18th at 5 p.m., partnered with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game at the JDHS Commons. Isabel, it's been great to have you on here to hear about this program. I'm going to thank you for being here. So install a bear-resistant electric fence. And Defenders of Wildlife can help you pay for it. It's defenders.org/got-bears. Thank you, Isabel, for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up next, this Saturday is the Law Enforcement Torch Run, the largest grassroots fundraiser and public awareness campaign for Special Olympics programs. We'll get a preview next, but first, a little Sounds Wild.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Sabrina Garcia is kneeling on the deck of a ship, examining a 6-foot salmon shark. Garcia is a marine research biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. In summer, you'll find her on ships in the Bering Sea, studying juvenile salmon, documenting their abundance, distribution, and diet. Each summer during salmon surveys, a few salmon sharks are caught in surface trawls and released unharmed. Garcia is making the most of these opportunities to add to our understanding of these little studied predators. Sharks are important because they are a top predator in Alaska waters and regulate lower level predators and help keep balance in the ecosystem. It's known that salmon sharks sexually segregate and that most of the sharks in Prince William Sound are female and most of the sharks in the Bering Sea are males. But marine scientists want to know, are there one or two distinct populations of salmon sharks in the western and eastern Pacific? And do they mix? Where do they mate? And where do they have their pups? To better understand salmon shark migration and distribution, Sabrina Garcia is documenting shark sightings and those caught by people fishing in Alaska waters to create an accessible database that includes shark locations, sex, date caught or seen, and size. Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Saturday is the statewide fundraiser, the 2023 Special Olympics Alaska Law Enforcement Torch Run and Pledge Drive. It raises funds for local community programs, and every dollar raised in each community stays in that community. Here to share all about this amazing program is Detective Kurt Stage Harvey and athlete Fubao Hartle. Welcome to the show, you both. How are you?
Thank you.
Of course.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Of course. It's a pleasure to have you here today. Thanks so much for coming in. So this event is massive, right? It takes place in 14 different communities around the state on the same day. How is the Capital City chapter of the Alaska Peace Officers Association involved with this, Kurt?
Yeah, thanks again for having me. I'm the past president of the local chapter of Alaska Peace Officer Association, and we're called the Capital City Chapter. So we're made up of law enforcement professionals from across the city, and there's a lot of them in Juneau, obviously. Yeah. So We are a philanthropic and fraternal organization, and we do lots of different things throughout the year. But one of the things we really love to do every year is host a torch run. Yeah. So we work in partnership with Special Olympics families, and we put on the torch run. We hold the torch. We set up food and tables and things. It'll be at Twin Lakes this year. And we are just excited to be able to help in this way. And it's not just in Alaska, of course, it's across the whole country. Since 1981, they've been doing the torch runs.
Do they so, they don't do the torch runs all across the country on the same day, do they?
I don't know if it's actually done on the same day, but it's definitely in Alaska it is.
Yeah, and it's probably sometime in this springtime as, you know, sort of the sun starts shining and it gets a little bit better weather. At least that's good for Alaska.
It's good for us, yeah.
Because, I mean, I was looking at the list of places. It's everywhere. It's in all these 14 communities around the state. Who coordinates that? Is that the Special Olympics that coordinates that with all the different law enforcement agencies, the local different agencies and stuff?
Yeah, it's definitely spearheaded and helped organize through the state Special Olympics office. And they have staff there that coordinate with us who organize it at the local level. But they help with fundraising. They have the classy website that they set up so that it's easy to donate and sign up. And they are the ones that order the t-shirts and help design them. So we definitely work in partnership locally and at the state level.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned it, but where does the run start?
Yeah, it's at Twin Lakes this year, and we will be starting at 10 a.m. is going to be the run start time, so the torch will be lit and runs opening ceremonies. But if you want to come and run or donate or just participate, cheer on the athletes or the law enforcement folks who are running or walking or wheeling, as it may be, you're welcome to come out and participate. And that starts at 9:30 if you'd like to register for the event.
Okay, great. And it also, it ends at Twin Lakes, so there must be a route, right? Like a big circle?
It's kind of a back and forth along
back
the bike path.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
So I think it's about, I just looked at it, it's about 2 miles down and back, but a typical torch run is supposed to be a 5K.
Right.
So I'll put a line in for people who really want to do the 5K. I'll put a line on the bike path so they'll have to run down and back halfway and then back. So
and remind me, because I am not good at the metric system, how long is a 5K? Do we know?
It's like 3.1.
3.1 around.
Something
okay.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you really, so two, you said it's 2 miles
down
and back?
Yeah. There's another parking area down at the other end of Twin Lakes at the far end.
Yeah.
So typically we'll have police officers in their cars with lights. And they'll be welcoming. Yeah, they'll be at the other end for the athletes, something to look forward to as they're huffing along toward the end. They'll give everybody high fives down there, and then we'll turn around with the torch and we'll run back to Twin Lakes.
I love it. So you get to where you think you're going, Fubao, and then you got to turn around and go back.
Yeah, and also I need to tell you something. They will be have Simon drawn on at the beginning too. Every year, when people running down the running down the street, they will have sirens to cheer them on.
Oh, the siren. So yeah, that's a nice thing. I remember when I had an accident when I was like 5 and they didn't turn on the siren. It was so disappointing.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to turn on the sirens, man.
Yeah, that's the whole point of that car, right?
that's the reason, unless you're driving and then you don't want to hear the sirens.
It's actually muted inside. The people on the sidewalk are the ones that get blasted. So it's definitely a fun part of the event.
Right, okay. And you mentioned something else there too, Kurt, about who can participate in this run. Basically, anybody can participate, yeah?
Absolutely anybody. It's supposed to be spearheaded by law enforcement to help fundraise and support Special Olympics programming, but definitely friends and family of law enforcement, anybody associated, friends and family of the Special Olympics athletes are participating, and there'll be a lot of athletes out there. I've really been thankful to come to know them by name over the years.
Yeah,
I've been participating about 8 years now, so they do it at the academy. That was the first time I participated in Sitka.
I see.
So all the recruits from over there do a torch run in Sitka. And that helped really spring my interest into doing to make sure I got involved here.
So Fuba, how does it work in terms of, are you getting pledges from people? Is that what you do?
Yeah, thank you for having that button.
Of course.
They will have, how it does his work is people can play it online. People can see everybody's names on a team, donate to a team, and you will get as much as we raise, he can get a stuffing in the train.
someone. Okay. So you go on, because I remember when I was a youngster and I did something called the March of Dimes, and it was a long walk and I was only like 7. I don't know how my mom let me do that by myself, but you had to go around and get pledges for like a dime per mile or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it's a little bit easier to pledge then, right? You just go online and you can pick, as Fubao said, you pick a team and how much that team does is what you will be donating, right? Or is it just you give it an amount that you feel comfortable with?
Oh, you can give any amount. Yeah. To participate and to get a t-shirt is a minimum of $35. So that's quite easy.
Yeah.
But a lot of people donate above and beyond if you're running. The goal is that you spread the website far and wide so that you get friends and family from across the area to help go to the website and click on there to donate. And it's a little bit of friendly competition. So Fubao has a team. He's probably going to blow everybody out of the water.
Yeah.
I have done it before last year and caught at another race. Court recognized me and gave me a certificate last year.
Oh, nice. Are you in training, Fubao? I'm curious. Are you eating well?
Yes, but and also I need to make sure people understand all money stays in Juno, not just out of town. It stays in Juno.
Yes, that is another important part of this, is that it the money raised by everybody here locally will stay local. It doesn't go to the national organization.
No.
It goes to the regional, well, I guess the Juno organization, right?
That's right.
Are there other organizations that participate beyond, or does all of the fundraising go specifically to Special Olympics and the programs that they're working on?
Just that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And they do a lot of cool stuff. The Special Olympics athletes here in Juneau, they do bowling and basketball, and I think they do swimming, and they do all kinds of really neat events. And then based on those events, they have an opportunity to go to the statewide Special Olympics competition. And then on from there, they, I think, have a regional one and then a nationwide one. So we've definitely had athletes from Juneau continue on those upper levels.
Fubao, when is the Special Olympics, when is it happening? When is the event? Is it this summer sometime? Do we know?
Do you want to pop on, Mom?
Yeah. Mom's here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah. So the next big event is the World Games in Berlin this summer. And there are two athletes from Anchorage that will be participating. And last summer, they had the U.S. Games, and those were in Florida. And there were several athletes from Juneau that participated in the U.S. Games in Florida.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so when you do the games, Fubao, what other competitions are you involved in? Do you, besides the walking or running, what else do you do?
Unfortunately, we don't have a track and field coach in Juneau, but I bowl with Special Olympics.
Oh, you bowl. Okay. Yeah. And is the bowling, does it happen here at the bowling alley in town?
Yes. Wow. You may not know, I have been part of Afternoons with Aisa. It's really a big and positive impact in my life.
Oh, that's so nice. And what's your goal in bowling? Do you want to get the 300 someday?
Yes.
How many strikes in a row? That's a tough one. I've gotten like 3 maybe before, but that's about it.
I'm hoping this year I will, someday I'm really hoping I will be able to run a 5K and with all the people to end up line and back someday, but maybe, I don't know about this year, but maybe I can this year run a 5K.
That would be great. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get everybody across the finish line on Saturday, no matter what. And we go out with the first folks and we're in with the last folks. So.
And Kurt, are you? Do you run or do you walk it? What do you do?
I pretend to run. I do run, but I try to run with the athletes.
I see.
I try So I skip ahead and meet up with them and chat with them a little bit, and then I drop back. So I'm just kind of a leisurely pace for me.
I guess it's better to run with the police than from the police. I would assume that's probably better, right?
Yeah, and also I need to let people know every year. A cool thing about it is, and athlete will carry a torch with an officer.
Oh, okay. So you carry a torch with the officer.
Not me, but I know one year athlete does.
Oh, I see. Okay. And that's how it kicks off, right? Is that what happens? Yeah.
Light a torch, have a ceremony, and then stuff happens.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the torch is heavy, so I definitely pass that on to other people. So it gets passed around between the participants, and if a Special Olympic athlete would like to carry it, we're all for it.
Yeah.
So, yep.
And Fubao, what does it mean for you to participate in this event?
I have a big passionate about showing people we can do stuff with disabilities. We can do activities with disabilities. Don't say we can't. We can do stuff. We can be in games. We can compete in competitions.
Yeah, absolutely. That is really good. And how important is it for you, Fubao, to bring awareness to the Special Olympics here in Juneau?
Super important. I mean, next year, I'm gonna maybe think about being on the statewide news, for a short one. Maybe next year, Alaska News Nightly.
as the winner, right? The winner.
No, to report on it.
Oh, to report on it. I think that's a great idea. That would be fantastic. Are you interested in a little bit of journalism there, Fubao?
Yeah, and I really hoping the whole town will come out. Please come out.
Come out to this event for sure.
We cannot do it without showing up as much people as we can. Please, I'm asking people, please pack train lights full of people. Full of cars. We need to have it a jam-packed Twin Lakes.
Jam-packed Twin Lakes, yep. Absolutely. So, and it's great because you don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be a police officer. You can just come and support and donate. You can donate, and for $35, you'll get the T-shirt, but you can donate any amount. You can go above and beyond, or you can donate what you have, right? So that's and just being there is probably one of the bigger things to help support this, too. Like, just being there and being present and witnessing this event at Twin Lakes on Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday, 9:30 if you're registering, right, Kurt?
That's right.
So how do we learn more about how to actually participate?
Well, you just heard it here. I think that's the best way. Of course, APOA, Capital City Chapter, we have a Facebook page, so there's a little flyer on there about it. I believe the Juneau Police Department also posted the flyer as well, so you can find it on their Facebook page. I'm not sure what the Special Olympics...
I think I have it here. Yeah. SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org.
Yes.
I think they will maybe have a link there. And I know on the association Facebook page, I looked there, there's a link to a registration page, which is a long link. I'll link it to on our show notes for this episode. It's something called classy.org. It's probably where you're registering the event and you can sign up and do all that good stuff.
And that's where you can choose to sponsor Fubao's team or the JPD Runs team. So
I see what you guys did here. Wait, you guys are opposite each other.
No, it's all for the same function, but you just kind of, it's a friendly competition. So who raises more money?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. So got to have some competition in there. Sure. I was going to say who's going against who here, but you're also coming. You guys are lucky because you're the ones who came on this show.
That's right.
And so now people are probably, who knows about those other teams? We want to promote Fubao's team.
Thank you.
I'd support Fubao's team.
I will encourage everybody, please support. Let's just turn out and run.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just fire people up and run.
Turn out and run. That is so good. Well, thank you both for being here. Gunnar the Chiefs, for telling us about this event. Come join the Law Enforcement Torch Run to support Juneau's Special Olympics athletes. All are welcome to walk, run, or roll. Register a pledge at SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org. You can also email Chris at SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org if you have other questions or need information. Detective Kurt, Fubao, thank you both for being here today and telling us all about this event, and Fubao's mom for jumping on and giving us a little detail as well.
Let's go, Juno.
Absolutely. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. On tomorrow's show, Bartlett has a new surgical system, and we will talk with the head of surgery about how it will be used. New business program highlights from Spruce Root and Tlingit and Haida, and a visit with Dr. Karen Carey, retiring chancellor from the University of Alaska Southeast. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture Team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a wonderful and fantastic Juno evening. We'll go out with a little more music from Stephanie's Hot Playlist. Je veux voir le rivage chanter.